Any questions?
So what do you think? Looks like the House on the verge of passing the president's version of health care reform this evening. You called it a catastrophic disaster over at Wabash College. That opinion still holds true?
Oh, absolutely. Gotten worse. In fact, think about this. I'm not certain they'll necessarily get there, because what they're trying to do is they're trying to say to pro-life Democrats in the House that you can count on a presidential executive order having the force of law. However, the United States Supreme Court has already upheld that no executive order can prohibit the expenditure of funds. So what this is going to do is, if they do this, is it is going to give maybe cover for a couple of pro-life Democrats to vote for a measure that in turn, on the basis of a presidential executive order, which will not have the force of law, and which also will not stop the expenditure of money by community health centers. So for the first time in many, many decades, we will have federal taxpayer dollars being used to pay for abortions, and for the first time ever, we will have community health centers now in a position to use taxpayer dollars to provide abortion services. And we will do so not by passing a law, but by having the President of the United States attempting in a subterfuge to say that he has just created a law prohibiting such expenditure through executive order, which cannot stop the expenditure of dollars. That's why all the pro-abortion forces in the Congress are happy with this, because they know that they can quickly get it knocked out in court, that the presidential executive order does not have the force of law.
What are the political ramifications on both sides? Are there any negatives for the Republicans in this?
Only if the Republicans had not previously offered up their own alternative. If they hadn't sort of over the last year educated themselves and begun to educate the American people that they have their own ideas about health care reform that make a lot more sense than this monstrous bill. The Republicans have come up with some very innovative ideas. There ought to be a tax credit that goes to the individual for health insurance, not just to the company, so that health insurance is completely portable. People ought to be able to buy health insurance across state lines, just like they buy auto insurance. Small businesses ought to be able to join together and pool their risks so they get the same discounts that big businesses get, and so forth. There are like seven proposals the Republicans have made, none of which are incorporated in this measure. Most especially not incorporated in this measure is any attempt to get rid of the junk lawsuits that are driving up the cost of health care for everyone.
If this happens to pass, then what do Republicans do to prevent the abortion?
Well, first of all, Republicans have every tool possible in the Senate to, in essence, stop these fixes, to make the bill keep the bill as bad as it was passed by the Senate. And they also have the ability, and I hope they use it, to stand up and say as one that it will be the first priority of a Republican House and a Republican Senate to repeal this bill.
Can you, Mr. Rowe, do that with some of the provisions that are there, like the pre-existing conditions, some of the things that both sides actually agreed on?
Why didn't the President of the United States take the things that both sides agreed on and move it in a piece of legislation? Instead of meeting with the Republicans and the Democrats on March 5th of 2009 and saying, let's move health care in a bipartisan way, and then having his next meeting with Republicans and Democrats to discuss health care 51 weeks later on February 25th, 2010. He had no interest in a bipartisan piece of legislation. He was aloof and detached from this process and let it go forward in the absolute worst way possible. We heard no screams from the White House, for example, on Christmas Eve when they stuffed the Louisiana Purchase and the Cornhusker kickback and the Yukon and Gatorade and all of these other bribes in the bill. In fact, guess what? Last week the president says we want to strip all those out. They aren't stripped out. Louisiana Purchase, in fact, he defended. In fact, after the president says we want them stripped all out, they put $100 million in the bill for what? For Tennessee to get extra so-called DISH payments, disproportionate Medicaid funding. And why? So they could buy or rent the vote of one retiring Democratic congressman from Tennessee who insisted on that as the price for his vote.
But once again, can Republicans, if this does become law, repeal the entire provision without the Democrats running ads saying, you didn't have insurance, now you got it?
Well, you know what they can do? They can repeal this bill and then put back in force the things that are bipartisan and get Democrats and Republicans together to join to vote for it. There has never been a major piece of social legislation, whether it's Social Security or Medicare or welfare reform or education reform, that has been passed on a straight party line vote like this. This would be bad for the country. It will poison politics for decades to come, because we had a president who got elected on the basis of saying we're not red states, blue states, but United States, but who has since governed with an eye towards what is the bill that I can get passed with the narrowest majority of Democrats possible. Remember, they got big majorities. This bill is so stinky that they not only lose a bunch of Republicans, they lose a bunch of Democrats. This is all about, can they bribe enough Democrats to vote for a bill and hold their nose and vote for this bill?
for the Indiana congressional members that will vote for this bill, what's their future?
If they are in a competitive district, they run the risk of ending their political careers this fall. Think about this. This has been one of the most extraordinary moments in American democracy. A year ago, every poll showed this to be a winner. When you look at the polls in February and March of last year, by a margin of 2-1, Americans were in favor of health care reform. If you look at the last 2 weeks and look at the poll questions that say, do you support the bill being supported in Congress today by Democratic leaders and by President Obama, it's 38% on average support and 60% opposed. Now, that's not being because the opposition has dominated the stage. In fact, the president has dominated the stage with 58 presidential appearances, including 2 televised primetime addresses to the American people, and with hundreds of millions of dollars of advertising from the unions and the drug companies and others, the insurance companies, in favor of this concept. And yet the American people have educated themselves by reading and going to the internet and watching and talking and going to town hall meetings and asking tough questions, and they've concluded this is a stinky bad bill.
Now, I'm sure you heard about the racial remarks yesterday.
It was unacceptable and bigoted.
The governor or the General Assembly can pass legislation to keep this out of the state of Indiana. Is that correct?
I'm not certain of that. I do think there's some constitutional questions with the individual mandate, but I'm not certain that there are 10th Amendment problems with the bill. Let's be clear, though. It will have a direct impact not only on Indiana federal taxpayers, because there's $2.4 trillion worth of cost in this bill. There's $526 billion in new tax increases, including $210 billion in additional payroll levies that are going to affect job creation in states like Indiana. But it's also going to directly impact the Indiana state budget. One of the ways in which they diminish the cost of the overall program is by, in essence, of the 31 million people who get additional coverage under this bill, 16 million of them get the coverage by the expansion of Medicaid. Which means the federal government says to Indiana, we're going to raise the requirements for you to provide Medicaid and give you only part of the money, and you got to hit up Indiana taxpayers for the rest of it. And in my own home state of Texas, I was meeting with a member of the Senate Budget Committee 2 nights ago who said over the next decade, Texas is anticipated to put out $17 billion to meet our share of our current Medicaid liabilities. If this bill passes, he said, we'll have to come up with $11 billion on top of that in order to meet the obligations that the federal government is going to levy on us in this bill.
You're a master of political strategy. How do Republicans sell, their message to the public? I mean, do they just have one person as a spokesperson, for the group, or they just sort of fan out and go all over?
Look, we're going to have 400.